Contenders, ready! Gladiators, ready! Three, two, one! The Gladiators!
Hello and welcome to the Glad Pod, a podcast celebrating the very best of Saturday night TV show of the 90s. It is, of course, Gladiators. I'm David Blackmore, and joining me on my journey of discovery is none other than Jet. But for me, and I think we probably both agree on this, maybe more reluctantly from your point of view, Diane, but the most obvious place and person to speak to about life as a gladiator has to be with you. So for our very first full episode, you'll be the one answering the questions today.
Thank you.
Which is, it does change things when you're asking the questions to answering them, doesn't it?
It does.
But the response, so when we put out the first podcast, just sort of whetting your appetite a bit of what to expect, the response has been, honestly, it's been so overwhelming. Thank you so much for all the messages that we've received. Like Rachel Courtney's, she met Helen at Cash Converters. Now, what I don't know is if that was an actual PA or whether it was just
met her. Yeah.
I didn't get this reference to start off with, but I have since now ordered Gladiators outside the Hyatt Hotel in Birmingham, so she would have done. I met Warrior at a shopping centre, met Mark and Lightning at a gym opening, and she ran past Judy Simpson, Nightshade. There you go. I love this one from Rachel Saunders. I've met Rhino, Cobra, Falcon, Rhino. And Rhino is opening a shoe shop in Winchester.
So that is so random, because he's over in LA now, isn't he? Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah. Cobra was in a shopping centre in Southampton, and Falcon in a leisure centre in Eastleigh. But it was quite a few years ago. And I think a lot of these are quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
Mark Lewis says he's met Jet a few times and Lightning twice, plus Cobra twice, Wolf and Saracen once.
Ah.
Well, there you go.
Got a little tally going on.
Tony McKerney says that he saw Mike Saracen near London Bridge once. We looked at each other and smiled, but that was it, I think. He knew that I knew him, and I do know what you mean. So they might have walked past each other, and he's gone, oh, but you don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Some of these people, they've met so many people. I like this from Dawn Thompson. Met Siren when she was having coffee with her mum and dad in Cameron Toll Shopping Centre food court in Edinburgh, where I worked in 1997.
Gosh.
She was loved me and gave me autograph. I love stories like that.
Oh, I like it too.
So she was working in a coffee shop. Maybe, presumably Siren came into it. A lot of people mentioning conventions that they go to. There's still quite a circuit, isn't there,
for the
conventions.
We've just started doing them at Comic-Cons in the last few years. Yes. Sort of all starting over again, really.
Yeah, and have there been increased number of them getting in touch with you? And
yeah, it is quite a circuit. And I remember years ago, a really close friend of mine, Tony Foxton, who is one of our mega fans, and he knows everybody. We all know him. He's been saying to me for years, oh, I don't know why, you glads die. You should all be doing Comic-Cons. And I'd be like, no, we don't need to do that. And actually, the more we've been doing the last few years, it's been really, really good fun.
Yeah.
And it's given me a chance of people like James Stewart, Rob. There's some real mega fans out there who will actually take the time to travel to see us. And what's great is I'll make a lot of time for any of these guys to catch up with and be with them, because it's you're still being exposed to your GLAD fans, real core Gladiator fans that made the show work, really.
Absolutely. Richard Cranium met Hunter and Jet in Temple Newsham in County Durham.
Oh, okay.
They arrived in a silver BMW wearing Gladiator tracksuits. It was a great day.
Oh.
Also met Saracen and Lightning. So it's definitely a core group of you that all kind of all went around. I mean, I guess it's probably original Gladiator's time as well that went round. sat next to John Cook, this is, sat next to Jet at a local Teesside charity dinner for A Way Out.
Oh, that's right, yes. A Way Out is a really good charity set up by the woman who is in fact going up for mayoral, the North of England mayor leadership or something in the next few months. Mm. That's Jessie Jo Jacobs. Yeah, phenomenal. And the A Way Out charity does some really good grassroots work in quite a poverty struck part of the northeast of England near Stockton.
Yeah.
If I can say that. Yeah, just lots of issues, lots of problems, and they create a really good place of support for people who are struggling with various issues.
Well, thanks, guys, for all your correspondence once more. All gratefully received. If you do want to get in touch, we're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, searching Gladiators Podcast or GladPod, and it comes up. And the email is thegladpod@gmail.com. Where do you want to start, Jet?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're looking at the beginning, certainly from an early age, so it was gymnastics, wasn't it, that you originally started?
Yeah.
And I guess in many ways was probably on that path to becoming a gladiator, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you were North of England junior champion.
That's right.
4 years?
Yes.
But then did you move from gymnastics into dance and choreography? So
I did. I mean, I was from the age of 9 to 14, this gymnast in the National Zone Squad. You're part of the GB squad, basically, and you're training at a really high level. I think Tuesday evenings were the only evening I didn't go to gym, because every night was gym and every weekend was gym.
Yeah.
And then I, at the age of 14, I just decided that I wanted to become a choreographer. So I actually not quit gymnastics. I had an accident. I had a really bad injury on my left ankle, which at that level, I think if you take a few months out of a sport like gymnastics at a certain level, you can never really fully get back because you miss out on too much training time. So I had this accident and then decided that I would retrain to become a choreographer, and I was 14 at the time. So I auditioned for quite a few schools to come down to London to train as a choreographer, and that was it. I just made a very fluid transition into being a performer, which I didn't want to be. I wanted to be a choreographer, but not necessarily a front person.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I still do a bit of choreography to this day.
So where were you? What were you doing when you heard about Gladiators? And how did you hear about it? Because obviously being one of the originals, you wouldn't have seen it on the telly before.
No, I had seen the American show in the small wee hours of a Friday morning. I had come across this bizarre show called Gladiators that these Americans were doing. And I just had a random phone call. Andy Norgate, one of the producers, had left a message on my answer phone just saying, could I please give him a call back? He'd heard my name, had been mentioned to him by somebody. And they were basically headhunting for a small pool of girls because there wasn't a great deal of way where you could select gladiators from, really, other than the bodybuilding kind of school or former athletes. And a lot of former athletes wouldn't want to do gladiators because the injury risk was so high. So if you were performing at a high level for the British team, I mean, Sharon was obviously a former swimmer, Sharon Davis, who became Amazon, it was quite hard to select from them. So yeah, I think they found out about me, and I just had this random message left on my answer phone saying, Have I heard of Gladiators?
So how have they heard of it? Was it because
I really don't know. I think they'd seen me in a bodybuilding magazine, and I hadn't done bodybuilding. I'd done a figure fitness.
Okay.
And then they asked for a showreel to be sent, and that was it.
So what was it like then from getting that, so having that message and then getting the call, and then presumably did you try out?
Had to try out, yeah. We were all asked to go to Woolwich Barracks, and we had gym tests. So filmed us doing gym tests and then the Army Assault Course outside, which I loved. And Kenny Warwick was walking behind me and he tapped me on my shoulders and he just said, I hope you're free. You're going to be free in the summer. And another girl that was with me sort of went, oh, think you've got it? And I said, oh, I don't know. You don't know. You never know these things until somebody actually calls you and says, right, yes, we're going to ask you to be a gladiator and we're going to call you Jet. And so I didn't take it for granted until I got the call about a week later.
Yeah, and Jet, the name, what do you...
No idea. No idea. I think I was quite quick.
Okay.
So yeah, they thought... I think it was that. I think I was just quite quick at the assault course. I was quite quick at the gym tests. So they must have called me Jet because of speed, I think.
Well, and obviously from then you're building up and you're getting ready. But take me to that moment that you're at the arena in Birmingham. And I mean, presumably all the seats are there, but they're rigging, they're getting things ready.
Yeah. Well, we weren't on the shop floor, on the arena shop floor, until... you're right, they're starting to strike some of the rigs, the big rigs for hang tough, the wall. When we were training downstairs, because there's a room downstairs underneath the arena where you could do all your training, I was useless, David. I couldn't do anything.
A floor below Gladiators Arena, a rehearsal arena was specially constructed, and it was in here that Gladiators first got to grips with one of the hardest events, Hang Tough. First up was Jet, and although she's now a confident Hang Tough cookie, her first swings were a bit of a letdown.
I couldn't hang tough, I couldn't do anything. And I remember crying a few days in, thinking, I'm going to be so pants at this. I'm going to be so useless. I don't think I'm going to be a very good gladiator at all. But what I think some of the others may side with me on this, I think sometimes when you're weak at something, you work that extra bit harder to get good. And so I did.
Well, because hang tough, from my point of view, you were always brilliant at. But then you said that perhaps at the beginning you weren't so sure. But
I wasn't sure.
What was it about? Because it wasn't just your bare hands, was
no,
it, onto it?
It's actually the hand guards. Now, once I'd figured out how to use these hand guards, I could actually hang on to the ring, because the rings were really quite thin. And if you try and suspend your whole body weight on these tiny, thin metal rings, you're just going to rip your hands apart.
Yeah.
So what you had to do is you had to kind of like post your hands through and then pull them back on the ring with these hand guards, which would then double up underneath and then it would make it a bigger, thicker thing to hang on to, and it actually made it a lot easier.
Well, was Hang Tough your favourite event then?
It was, because of swinging across the arena was quite pleasurable. But my little feet, my legs used to shake. My feet would shake. You couldn't see them because it was so subtle. But yeah, I really enjoyed Hang Tough.
So when you get to the end of that first series, you would have had no idea of how successful
you're right.
It would have been.
You're absolutely right. I don't think we could comprehend how the show was going to be received. It was just so bizarre, so different to anything that had been, apart from It's a Knockout and some of the other kind of old classic game shows. I don't think any of us can, comprehend what was about to come. And it started getting the ratings really quick.
Yeah, well, because is it a few months after you've recorded it that it's on air?
Yes.
So you're just sitting there for months thinking, this is either going to go really well or
exactly. It could be one way or the other. And I remember I found it hard to watch, to be honest. If I heard John just say, contender ready, gladiator ready, it would disturb my tummy. Let's just be polite. It would give me the runs, basically.
Oh, really?
Because I was so nervous.
Does it still haunt you for dreams that day?
Yeah, if you play any of John's voice still now, it puts a fear of God through me.
Yeah, well, you know, he wasn't somebody to mess with, was he?
No.
How did you find out about the events that you were doing then? I mean, did they pick them to suit you, or did it? Or?
As I said, because in those first few days of training, I wasn't good at anything. I really struggled with a lot of them. So I thought, I'm just going to be so useless at any of these. But as I said, if you feel like you're not very good at something, then you just work that extra bit harder to get even better at it. And the events had been brought over by the Americans, so we already knew what Hang Tough and the Wall. There were kind of classic gladiator type events from the original show. But I think on the UK show, they tried to try out some new events as well, and some of them fell flat on their face, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I guess with some of the events, it must be a bit of a hit of miss as well, because it needs to work for everyone.
It does.
Because I think for a lot of people, they don't realise that you weren't a gladiator from 1 right through to 8. And I think a lot of people just assume that you were there throughout. But in the time that you were, I mean, what were your highlights? What were your memories from being a gladiator?
I always remember feeling very nervous a lot of the time, because the events were really quite dangerous. And it wasn't so much... It was the high falls. It's when you... You know, so from Hang Tough, it was a 15-foot drop off the rig itself. Pole Axe, 40-foot drop. And it's the big high falls where most of the accidents would happen. And each year, more and more accidents were beginning to happen because the contenders were coming in fitter, stronger, faster, sharper, which meant that we kept having to up our game as well. So one of my kind of long-term memories was always, can I walk away from the event? Can I, instead of being scraped off a crash mat by some physio, was I going to always be able to walk away after the event? That's my one memory I remember hanging on to. Please let me walk at the end of this event. Because quite often you didn't. You'd be scraped off a crash mat and something will have broken. And, of course, if you break a bone or a ligament, it doesn't take two minutes to heal. It takes months. Yeah. You can put yourself out quite badly.
And it's such a short window as well that you're doing. Was it two shows a day?
Two shows a day. Generally, we shoot for 2 days. So we get 4 shows in and then you get a couple of days off. But if you started to, you know, get fractures or pulls or big horrible tears to your body, they wouldn't have healed overnight.
Yeah.
All of us just dreaded getting injured, because you'd still have to go out and perform, even with broken digits or whatever.
Do you watch yourself? Have you seen any of those clips back? Because they're all on YouTube now.
Yeah, I can watch it now. I go, God, is that me? But no, I haven't watched the one where I had my accident, because that was a live event at Wembley in 1996, and there was only some stills taken of that. I don't think it was filmed.
Yeah, well, let's go there, because that's when kind of your journey as a gladiator sort of came to quite an abrupt end. So it's 1996, the live shows at Wembley. For those of you who don't know, it was Pyramid. Yep. Was it new at the time? Had it already been around?
No.
And it was as you tackled a contender that you fell awkwardly.
Yeah.
And what is it, trapping nerves?
Yeah, in my neck. I heard a snap. Oh. Now, I've heard those noises before. Usually, if you break a bone or a ligament, you can it's quite loud. And it came from sort of my neck area, and I just thought, I can breathe. That means I haven't broken my neck.
Okay.
So that was, it was terrifying. And that's it. I just decided that was it for me. I didn't want to go back into the arena again.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I quit.
Because that was my next question, is when, at what point did you realise? And I assumed that it may be medical advice. So as you were being taken out of there, you were thinking, right, I'm not. But I guess if you're coming from a background or from a point of view that you've wished for every time you've gone out there that you're going to walk at the end of it, then something like, I mean, that presumably is the most serious incident that you had. There wasn't anything that got too close to that.
No. I mean, we were watching injuries happening, and the spinal injuries were the ones that really upset me most, because there's something fairly, not final about a spinal injury, but if you do damage your spine or your neck, you're going to be lucky to walk away type of thing. And I just thought, it's not worth it. I'm enjoyed doing this show. I'd done quite a bit of TV before Gladiators.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the artistry of being somebody who would act things through, whereas with Glads, you couldn't act. You had to live it.
Mm.
You had to do it for real. And I guess some of the other Glads were sort of really into that. They're really like lived for being a gladiator, whereas for me it was just another job that I was fit enough to do, and I couldn't I could re-identify very quickly with, oh, my life isn't going to be over if I don't carry on being a gladiator. I'm okay. I've done my time now. Let me go.
Well,
so I quit.
You would have been breaking a lot of hearts up and down the country, I think. I mean, the big thing that I can certainly remember was just everyone having these like ginormous posters of you. I think you had to do it through like cereal box collection,
yeah.
And you had to like collect it, and then you could get it. But nobody wanted any other poster apart from Jet.
Oh.
I mean, you must have had such a huge fan base. I mean, how did fan clubs things work in those days?
Do you know what? I think it was John Sachs, our wonderful commentator on the show. I did like a Barani off the dual podiums. So the dual podium about 15, 20 foot up. So again, quite a big high event, a very high profile event. And I think I'd done a duel with the contender, and as a way of dismounting off these podiums, I did like a somersault, like a Barani. And I think John Sachs actually went, oh, send me the Jet fan club or something. Send me, you know, let me become a member of the Jet fan club type of thing. And I think it was that one comment that he made this one year that kind of went, made it kind of go through the stratosphere a little bit.
And there's Jet relaxing after that amazing ordeal. Oh, look at that! Where's my membership form? I'm signing up for the Jet fan club.
Did you have a fan club?
Yeah, there was a fan club. There's a guy called Bill Hettersley who used to be a casting director for Central TV many, many years ago, and he'd been put on duty to look after all the gladiators for things like PAs, etc., etc. And I think we'd be sent to my parents' home, because I was living in London, sackfuls of what would have then been fan mail.
Mm.
Because now, of course, you've got Twitter and Insta.
Yeah.
You had literally big sacks of mail arriving at your doorstep. And my mum used to help me. And I said, oh, Mum, just if you see any special ones, like really special drawings or any extra special letters that where somebody's gone that little extra mile to say, hello, I'm a big fan of yours, Jet, and the Gladiators, then keep them aside. So I actually met quite a few amazing people still to this day who are genuine fans who've also become really good friends.
Yeah, well, I think you were only, what, 21 at the time?
22, yeah.
20, yeah, so I mean, to have all these letters arriving suddenly thrust into that
yeah.
limelight. I mean, can you remember the first time you were recognised?
Yeah, probably. I wasn't comfortable with that process, David. I really hated being recognised. Fame wasn't an easy fit for me. It still isn't, really. But it can have its uses.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you see the Jets on TV, you know, the hair flick and the back flips and all of that. And I think people just assume that is your person when you leave, and actually, you know, it is an act, and it was an act, and it was just trying, you know, do your job, which is be on TV and make good TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. It was casually, just, you know, aerials everywhere and hair flicking everywhere, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that side of this kind of creative side of it all. And like, people say, oh, Di, why did you do the aerial cartwheels and do this and that? I said, because I didn't want to stand and pose. I'd rather have kept moving whenever I was being introduced before an event. And the reason why I'd keep moving is so then you can't see the cellulite on my legs and my bottom. That's why I kept moving anyway.
And what was your... So we said Hang Tough. What are your other... favourite event?
The Wall. I love The Wall. I think a few of the others have mentioned that they liked Powerball as well, because that was one of the very few events where you could actually be in a team, and there was a bit of team tactics having to be done. Yeah, those three.
And which gladiators did you really get along the best with?
Well, everybody, really. I loved being on a Powerball team with Lightning and Vogue as well. Because we were, three of us were ex-gymnasts, so we kind of had quite an affinity with flying around and being a bit roughy-tufty. Yeah, no, I think it was just one of those very few events where you could actually get stuck in and play a team, a bit more team game.
If the injury hadn't have happened...
Ah, good question.
Do you think you would have continued?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure how...
And still waiting for that injury to have happened?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd had the courage to kind of walk away from the show without it being because of an accident. Because I think even my late father was saying, "Di, you know, you're famous, you know, keep at it, don't burn your bridges." And I'm like, I really want to leave this show because it hurts.
Yeah.
So I did.
But it wasn't quite the end, though, was it? Because when they did the revival in 2008, you went back as there were, with Hunter, wasn't it? With the backstage reporting and talking about...
The Videator.
Videator. Yeah. It's very Gladiators,
isn't
it?
It was the Videator, because if you go back to the mid-noughties, the 1990s, so this is 2007, I think, when Sky did this rendition of the Gladiator show, and there was something called the Videator, because the websites and things that support TV shows weren't really being done back then. It was just all beginning, really. So, yeah, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed doing it.
Did they do it well? Was it a good revival?
I thought so. I loved the use of sort of water and the elements. They wanted it to look kind of really tasty in terms of... But also the use of high falls going into water meant that there was less injuries, because of the big high falls were really when people were getting quite badly hurt. So instead of, like, breaking your neck, you just drown instead now. Yeah. But I thought it was a slice of genius. But I think the Glads themselves were far superior, for me, far superior athletes, a little bit overproduced.
Okay.
So they weren't their personas as such, which is what we were left to be able to get on with our own personas. Maybe they could have been left a little bit more, but I don't know. I kind of liked what Sky did with the treatment of the whole program.
Would you like to have gone on longer? Because it seemed to be doing well.
Yeah. I'd like to have seen the Sky one go on for longer. Yeah. I would have, but I think it only lasted 2 years, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're nearing the 30th anniversary now.
I know.
So would you like to... Can it come back? Is there a way of bringing it into 2020? Or, well, it'll be 2022 by then.
A little bird has told me that there is something on the table that looks gladiatorial and will be possibly for around about our 30-year... maybe there'll be a version of... I don't know how it could evolve. I think the concept of having these larger-than-life superhero gladiator people is timeless, and I think that will always work. Yeah, I mean, if you couldn't pay me enough, though, to go back and do it again.
So you wouldn't be considering dusting off the lycra?
No, I would do something, but probably not Gladiate.
I mean, you could be one of the presenters.
I would love to be one of the presenters, absolutely. So that's the best job.
Who would be your co-presenter?
I don't know. I like Hunter, actually, James. I always like working with him. Actually, Mickey, there's so many of the boys are just really good value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you left in 1996.
Yes.
So you've left Gladiators. You said, right, that's that chapter of my life's over. So, yeah. So what is your next... What was the next chapter after that for you then?
After that, for me, I got married. I met a very nice man called George. He actually worked at LWT. For Granada, actually, Granada TV. He was in government relations, so I met him at work as such, and we got married, and I went back to university to train as a psychotherapist, because I'd always been interested in the mind, even since being a child. And I think having had the experience of becoming famous really it was more compelling. I wanted to know, what's this psychology behind fame, and why are people treating me differently now? Because I'm still the same person. I'm still Diane, and I still find it fascinating. I love doing counselling and psychotherapy work.
Well, you got some TV therapy work as well, almost, didn't
did.
You? Because you was Trisha Goddard's chat show,
yes,
and it was Big Brother's bit on the
side.
And that was the bit where, wasn't it your part extended?
Yeah, I know, I was so lucky, because they're like psychotherapists to come on at a show like Big Brother's Bit on the Side, which was the analysis show for the main show, Big Brother.
Yeah.
And as the years went by, they offered me a what would have been a 5-minute bit, ended up being about 8 or 9 minutes,
which is a huge
chunk,
yeah,
to sit and talk on camera and analyse the behaviour in the house. I felt very flattered by it, but you know, Emma Willis, who was presenting at the time, she said, "Die, because you give good value,
yeah,
and the producers are liking what you're doing." So I was really, really happy with that. Want to get a regular gig is a good thing, but then for them to extend the timing on camera to be able to talk a little bit more about the people in the house was just wonderful, something I'll never forget.
And Jet loves as well.
Yes, so that's a bit weird, doesn't it?
No. When did it start, and what was your thinking behind it? What was your idea?
Well, I've always taught fitness, and I just thought, well, I'll start teaching on camera like most people are doing these days, and it'll be from wherever I am to wherever whoever's at the end of the camera will be. And I'm particularly good at helping people become more structurally stable, so things like Pilates and functional fitness, and I enjoy teaching. I haven't been doing a lot of it though recently. I haven't done any Jet Loves this year so far, but I'll get back to it.
So what will people find if they're seeing it though? It's just different ways of leading your life and different things you can do.
You can do bit of Pilates with me, or a HIIT session with me, or just contact me and I'll end up giving you some psychotherapy if that's what you want as well.
But why do you think, you know, for the 25th anniversary, some of you guys went on This Morning,
yes,
and the 27th you were on Good Morning Britain. There's been various articles, and actually you Google each gladiator's name and there's usually a news article that's like, where are they now? Why do you think there's such a fascination with particularly some of the original gladiators, even to this day?
I think because they were just so loved, weren't they? It was such a popular cornerstone of a Saturday night. There was the Blind Date and Baywatch and Gladiators. It's kind of like a staple, really, for a Saturday evening. And it had whole family appeal.
Yeah. No, it really did. And I think one thing that I've definitely seen from all the messages that we've been getting is the amount of sort of different PAs that you guys did, and you did a lot of panto as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
21 years of panto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All in the same area or all parts of the country?
No, all over the country, depending on what the production company was. But yeah, all over the country.
That must have been pretty good for you.
Oh, I loved it, because I've had a bit of a musical theatre background, so it was very easy for me to do, and I do love a good panto. They can be very, very clever. They can be really well written. And I used to play principal boys because of my background, so I used to love it. Yeah, I've been really lucky.
If you could go back to and give some advice to that early Jet. I mean, you watch her back, and she's just come off Hang Tough, and she's very. Yes, well, it was a very good game.
I know, my little 22-year-old voice was very good, and she was really good, and da-da-da-da, and oh, no. I'd be like, grow some, die.
Well, I mean, would you have done anything differently for you during your time?
No, I don't think I could have been one of those gladiators that's like, you're going down, being scary and ferocious. I was just too hair-flicky and too smiley. I wouldn't change a thing. There's a few things in my personal life I would now go back and go, don't do that.
Yeah.
As far as GLADS go, no. I think, apart from the accident at the very end, I'm pretty pleased with my win rate. Lightning, I think, and myself are probably strong. I mean, Lightning is a phenomenal gladiator. She's fearless, and she still is. If you give a piece of lycra now, she'd be straight back out there in that arena. She lives it through and through, gladiators, absolutely.
Well, how much merchandise have you still got?
I've got 2 or 3 cozzies still.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And my tracksuit top. I think I might like to be able to sell or, again, donate part to charity for one of my costumes. For stuff that I believe in as well, like Macmillan or something like that, and Mind as well, mental health charities.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Oh, watch this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do come to that, we should definitely push it on the on the podcast. And actually, do you know what? We probably should do a merchandise, because there must be so much out there. I can remember having a game, and I cannot find it anywhere, but it was... you had Atmosphere, so you put out the different pads, and you had like a little. It was almost like basically a wooden spoon without the actual spoon bit, and you had to sort of guide it around, and nothing come up. And then you had Jewel, where you had to just wiggle these bits really quickly, and I can't find that game anywhere.
Not in your loft anywhere?
No. So if anyone listening knows about this game, I've searched on eBay, and it doesn't matter what you put in, because I think there was also a board game. A Gladiators board game.
I think there must have been.
So when I type in Gladiators game, it always comes up with that board game.
And see if anyone listening knows.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's a dual game, and there's loads of characters as well that you can get.
Yeah.
Do you not have any of your own characters?
No.
I guess they weren't probably given. Were they given to you? I mean, would you have seen them?
No. I mean, I don't. I'm trying to think. We had little dolls, didn't we? And what else? Gosh, there was all sorts of merch. I think you're right about that. We were sponsored by Frosties. That's right. We were sponsored by a cereal at one point, and they'd spin a lot of merchandise on the back of that. I'm trying to think. Any other characters? No. I think Wolf was very popular. Shadow was very popular.
And it's interesting, isn't it, actually, that out of those three, and I think most people would probably rule those off quite quickly... Wolf was the only one who was right there, right till the very end.
Apparently, yes.
I mean, Shadow is only three series, and we're talking like four or five.
Mm.
Do you think, for some of the other Gladiators, do you think it's, especially the ones that have had such a longer time, like did one to eight or did two to eight, they must get annoyed that Jet's always the one that people remember?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. You'd have to ask them. I think it's just because I was... It's just a very easy name to remember, isn't it, Jet?
Or was it the backflips?
I think sometimes the flicks probably helped.
And how well-spoken you were.
Oh, was I well-spoken? Oh, it's very... Was it my little 22-year-old voice?
But what's next for you now, apart from doing this podcast?
Carrying on as a psychotherapist, hopefully getting some more studies under my belt, writing a little bit at the moment as well about some experiences in my life that have informed me more about how to do a good life and not do such a good life as well. It's a bit more complicated than that, but I'm writing. And I still just love TV. I'd like to be doing more of the psychotherapeutic role back on TV.
Yeah, well, there's no more Big Brother, is there?
No,
so
I know.
That's kind of hit that.
I know.
And, yeah, I'm just thinking, like, what reality TV shows... I mean, most have spin-offs. I mean, maybe you could do the Love Island spin-off.
Oh, yeah, I think Love Island...
Because the psychology behind that must be...
I love
it.
I love all that stuff. I do. I just think, you know... They're like in the field experiments for psychologists. It's like,
well, that's why Big Brother is the same.
Exactly.
And it's the same. It's pretty much the same formula, except they're coupling up in Love Island. And I think a lot of the Big Brother people wouldn't want to be seen with each other, would they?
No, you're absolutely right. And also for me, being an ex-dancer and choreographer, any of the sort of dancing on ice or Strictly would be my absolute dream. Because I'd like to think for ladies of a certain age, I could give them a really good go for it, you know? Because it's always usually these youngsters, isn't it, that starts to win. And I'm like, come on. I know Debbie McGee did really well. But, yeah, there's lots of good stuff out there.
Thank you very much, Jet. For talking me all through that. Hopefully
you,
it wasn't too painful.
It wasn't too painful at all. Thank you, everybody. Yes, and do keep on any questions coming in for us as we start to explore all the other Gladiators' lives.
Yeah, because definitely there will be questions that I haven't asked. Someone's sitting there going, oh, well, I can't believe he didn't ask about this live show and what happened here. Albeit, if it's some of those incidents, we might actually have to YouTube them to try and find it, to try and jog your memory. Because actually, we have to remember it's 30 years ago, a lot of these now as well. So... But yeah, thegladpod@gmail.com is the email address to send in any questions for Jet. Or if you've got one for another Gladiator, we've got coming up. So we've got Cobra, we've got Hunter, Panther, Vogue, and we've got lots more coming up. So it'd be good to hear your stories and your memories of Gladiators. But just like we had at the first episode, I think it's becoming a bit of a trend now. I really just want to leave you with the very kind words of John Sachs, who we hope we're going to get on the show very soon, because I mean, I bet he has got some stories to tell well. And also from his point of view, he wouldn't have known. I mean, he must narrate quite a few things. He wouldn't have known the impact that show would have had. So I bet he got more into it as it went on, because it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But anyway,
very much.
We've got all those questions that we can ask him. Diane, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As John will now say, we will see you next week.
Good competition, good spirit, great sportsmanship, as both contenders show mutual respect. Join us again next week for the ultimate challenge, the might of...